This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نفسي لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي يا ربي أمين. So we're going to continue with what we started last week. And I really, this is a beautiful subject to prepare, but it's sad to say this, but it's true. So many sunnah we don't do. So I was really like, where do I start? How I'm going to do? Finally, I was like, I'm going to take it like a subject by subject and let's go and see how many. This is how I look at it. Some we really don't know. We don't know there's even this something called this sunnah. And some we know, but we don't do it at all. Some we know, but we do it sometimes. And some we know, but we do it maybe more. And very few of us does it on a regular basis. And the most important thing, and this is one of the things we're going to learn, inshallah, is we don't know the virtue of what we are doing. Besides, it's a sunnah, but what else? You know what I'm saying? So there's a sunnah because he did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. But there is also things he did. So you will get more than one reward. You will get the reward because you're doing it as a sunnah, but there's a reward of doing this action. So see how beautiful is this deen. So that's number one. And number two, and as I was preparing, I listened to a very beautiful concept. SubhanAllah, when I was listening to it, I was like, SubhanAllah, I never thought of it this way. They were explaining it, that the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam is basically who he was. Whether it is himself as a human being, as a leader, as a prophet. But the most important thing, there is this deen will never exist if there was no Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Did you get the point? There will be no deen.
Yeah.
If there was no Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. There will be no Quran if there was no Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Because yes, it's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how did it reach us? He chose him to deliver to us. So I think when we look at the abandoned sunnah, and there is actually more than one book written about it, but it's small books, not a whole including everything. Some took this subject and some took this subject. But I think to start looking at this in general, number one, inside us, we need to look and appreciate and glorify, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and glorify Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam way different than what we are. We all love Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam, I've no doubt. I mean, everybody, if in front of them, the word Medina is mentioned, you smile right away. It's amazingly, right? And it's like, okay, I wish I was there. Or you see a picture, or somebody sends you a video from Medina. And then somebody always, and you see this, actually it's videos also. If you see somebody says, imagine if Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam would come right now, what will you say? Immediately their face change. And a lot of people start crying. I mean, there is an amazing, this ummah, walillah alhamd, has amazing love for Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. This is no doubt. But unfortunately, as in many other things, we don't translate it to action. The feeling is there and it's genuine. Whoever says it's not, they probably don't know Muslims. Even very simple Muslims who don't know much about the deen. But if you say the name of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, they feel different. So, but then let's translate. This is what this class and this halaqah is, let's translate it to actions. And these actions is two things. One, we know, so I may share some of the ones with you. And you tell me we know it, alhamdulillah. Then know the value of what you are doing. Be grateful and keep it. Don't let it loose. And then the things we don't know, let's again learn and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to practice. So I was just asking, and this is just to see, because most of you, alhamdulillah, you were with us last week. How many of us start using miswak since last week? Alhamdulillah, I mean, it's not, at least not zero. But those who not, this is why I'm not putting people on the spot. It's just to, again, remember, buy it. And if you don't have it, I mean, it's very easy. It's everywhere. And then just get to the habit. And I think in winter is easier because you have pockets. Just honestly, just put it in your pocket and then just keep doing it. And once you start doing it, you will get very much used to it. And put one next to your bed, one in the kitchen, you know, wherever you are in the house, and just try to use it. And again, remember two things. The hadith we shared last time, It's two benefits of it. One is dunya, I call it, is this world. It cleans and purifies the mouth. But what is the other benefit? We said it last week. More than that, marḍātun lil-Rabb, it pleases Allah. And this is how you answer if somebody tells you, why should I use it? Well, I'm used to brushing my teeth since I was young. I was like, yeah, alhamdulillah. That will do one thing. That will clean your mouth. But the suwak itself is a pleasure. It's like an act of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So remember this. And the second thing I want you to remember is this hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam from last time. And I'm going to say it again because that's going to make me want even more to resuscitate, to revive, bring back the sunnah. من أحيا سنة من سنتي قد أميتت من بعدي فإن له من الأجر مثل من عمل بها. Whomsoever resuscitate a sunnah, bring back a life to a sunnah that died after me. Died completely. Nobody does it, right? He will have the reward of him or her doing it and everybody else doing it till the day of judgment. So just to bring it back. So again, I'm going to bring back suwak. I'm going to, some of the ones I'm going to share with you. So bring it back. And the one who invented something in this deen, bid'ah, innovation, he will have the punishment or he will have the sin of he is or she is doing it and everybody else following it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So what did I want to do today? I thought let's do about wudu. Right? Are you ready? Everybody, bismillah. What is the first sunnah in wudu that we completely forget? So niya, of course, the fact you are going to do wudu, that's your niya. Because that's what Allah said in the Quran. إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا. The fact to wash, that's your niya.
No, that is after.
You are all talking about after. And I'm saying in it. I'll give you a clue. You turned off the faucet. Yes. Not wasting water in wudu is a sunnah. This is what I wanted you to all bring back. It's an act of sunnah. It's an act of worship. It's not because you are earth conscious. Or you don't want to waste, which is part of it too. But the main reason, number one, you are doing it because it is sunnah. That's how he did, alayhi salatu wasalam. How much he used? They didn't have cup at that time. We're going to translate to cup later. Like? Something with an M, I love it. She's right. She's very right. Because med, no. Yes. And I'll share it with you. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يغتسل بالصاع إلى خمسة أمداد ويتوضأ بالمد. I'll translate, don't worry. And I'll translate even after I translate. Because I have to bring it to the reality. So this is a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, both in al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam used to use one mud, M-U-D-D. That's how you write. Wudu, ablution. And he did five med for ghusl. So whatever you use for wudu times five is the ghusl. So what is mud? How much? Scholars differ. Some says it's exactly the average man when he fills his both hands. Whole wudu. Like Allah, I wish I can so give you a selfie of yourself. Right? And then recently, some scholars, they said it's between 5 to 600 cc's. So one bottle. I love it. Yes, that's for all wudu. It's not part one of wudu. It's all wudu. All wudu. And some scholar says, what about if somebody was so water conscious or he doesn't have, but he was and he used less? They said the wudu is valid as long as he or she covers the most important. So every time we waste water in the wudu, we're doing, number one, you're disobeying Allah, number one. Because Allah said it categorically, clearly in the Quran, لا تسرفوا, don't waste. Don't waste. إنه لا يحب المسرفين. He does not love those who waste. Then number two, absolutely, I'm not following the sunnah. So here you go. Think of it like a handful, an average man, or it's basically 500 cc. So what is the best way to practice this? If you're going to open the faucet, forget it. Because we're not used to it.
Take a bottle and do
it. Exactly. Take a bottle or take the bottle. Maybe in the beginning is hard because you need to have somebody to help you. Mm-hmm. But the whole bottle, bring it in a container. That's what he did. They didn't have faucets those days. They used to call it al-wadu. Either they will fill it like, you know, the same thing that the planter, we use it to water the plants, or you put it in a container, and then do your wudu in this container. And the last thing, you're going to wash your feet. It's going to be a struggle in the beginning. You're going to be no way, right? But the more you practice in sunnah and part of excellent wudu, not wasting water in wudu. Al-isbagh al-wudu, they say when wudu is perfect is when actually you don't waste water in wudu. So if you have two people, this is how I want you to think. So you have two people, let's say upstairs in the masjid or wherever you are, and both are doing wudu, sitting and doing the wudu in the area special, like designated for wudu. That person is using much less than this person, but both their wudu was perfect, was complete. This person who used less, his wudu is better. So let's practice it, because it's not about us only, arhamukillah. It is the children. Because where they are learning this from, it's us, right? And if you see almost all of us, the faucet is running. It's amazing. So I will say, start with this in the beginning. Between every action of the wudu, turn off the faucet. When you move from one part to the next, turn off the faucet. Start with this one, even moving from the right to the left hand. And one of the ways it also helps you really figure out how much water we waste. Put a container under you as you're doing the wudu from the faucet and see how much there is there. You see how you train? It's a matter of training, but it's a sunnah mahjura. It is absolutely abandoned sunnah. You rarely go to a place, you see people in haram, in huge masajid, that the water they are using is like dripping. No, it's usually running. Why it's running? And I call it a flood zone after. So let's do this. Less water. Number two. Now coming to the wudu itself. I'm not going to talk about fiqh. I'm going to talk about sunan that we just don't do it. Either we don't know or we just forgot. Number two, when you wash your mouth and you wash your nose, it's one movement he did. One movement. He put it here and here. Here and here. Here and here. Yes, this is the sunnah. Mm-hmm. So sunnah, again, it's not you have to, if you forget, your wudu is invalid. No. Again, we need to get trained. And this is also a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Zayd, he said, I saw Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, tamadmada, meaning he washed his mouth, wastanshaqa, he sniffed his nose with bikaffin wahida, from one hand. So he filled it, mouth and nose, three times. So number two. Number three, what do you do when you finish wudu? Don't think about drying your hands. I'm not talking about this. Which one? Where is the sunnah? Yes, at-tashahud. At-tashahud ba'da al-wudu. Don't forget this. We all know it. Subhanallah. But we just don't remember to do it. Every time. Subhanallah. We are not Muslim. I don't know. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I just have to combine them. My brain has to say, you finished your wudu, next say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And this is a hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, look at the virtue of it. Remember what I told you? There's a sunnah, I'm doing it, because he alayhi salatu wasalam did. But this one also has a virtue on top of it. And this is Sayyidina Umar, he said, قال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما منكم من أحد يتوضأ فيسبغ الوضوء ثم يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسوله، إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء. I'll translate. Not a single Muslim perform beautiful wudu with excellence. And remember, excellence, slowly, don't waste, and go over everything he did عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then he says, or she says, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Simple, right? وأن محمد عبده ورسوله. I bear witness, no deity but Allah, and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is his messenger. Very simple, very easy. What will happen? فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية. The eight gates of Jannah will be open. And will said to him, enter from, or her, enter from which door you want. Every wudu, how many times we do in the day? Minimum two, three. I mean, minimum, right? And sometimes five, sometimes even more. Each time I do it, I say, أشهدُ أن لا إله إلا الله وأنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Jannah gate opened for me. Can you believe this? So imagine, literally, imagine we always like, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, please, I want.
I have something to ask.
Yes.
When we were very young,
yes,
our mothers taught us that whenever you put the water on your face, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
Okay.
Every time we put water.
Now, this is again.
This is, what,
there is a lot of the things we all learned, but it may not be exactly from the Sunnah. What I'm sharing with you is not everything in the Sunnah, because this is not a fiqh class. I'm trying to bring back things that we may know, may not, but probably we don't do it. How many of us say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah after the wudu? Alhamdulillah, everyone, every time. Alhamdulillah, may Allah teach us all. Because it's very easy. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So these, I chose like these three, and if I come to others, I'll share it with you next time. But that's what I came with this time. Then ghusl. Ghusl of meaning, when we are in a state of impurity, state of najasa after menstruation or after marital relationship, we do something called ghusl, which is washing the body. What is the sunnah? What is the relationship between wudu and the ghusl? The wudu before ghusl is a sunnah. So before you start your ghusl, you do wudu. And that's a sunnah. That's how he did it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Clear? Before the ghusl, you do wudu. Exactly the same way you do the wudu for the salah. And that's the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. This is Sayyidah Aisha, actually. She said, كان إذا اغتسل من الجنابة. If he, alayhi salatu wasalam, took the bath of janaba, meaning after a state of marital relation, he wants to wash. بدأ فغسل بيده. First thing, he washed his hand. ثم توضأ وضوءه للصلاة. Then he performed wudu the same way he did for the salah. So every time we do, because the other reason I put this, because some people think that this is a part of ghusl, like you have to do the wudu. It is, you don't have to do, but it is a sunnah. So I will look at it as I'm doing it as a sunnah. If somebody didn't do it, don't tell them you're wrong, but you told them you missed an action he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you missed a reward. So al-wudu before ghusl al-janaba. Clear? Any question about this?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
There's, I will show that there's
yes.
Over there. That ba'den also, after that, after you finish the ghusl, there's command one more wudu.
No. It's only one. You wash your feet, you delay washing the... Exactly.
Sorry,
you
please.
Delay washing the feet till the end. Because this is how he did, and
question.
Simply because if you think of them, they had a one container where they did, and he wanted to wash his hand, his feet outside that container. That's how he did, but there was no wudu afterward. Is it a question or is it a comment?
No, it's a question.
Can we leave it at the end?
Sure.
Jazakallah. Now, what do we do after wudu? So I did wudu, I did not waste the water, meaning when somebody comes to the bathroom after me, they didn't think I did wudu. Let's put some signs, okay? And then I said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَى اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. What action next? Where he actually said it to Sayyidina Bilal.
After wudu.
The two ruka'at after wudu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do this. Every time we do wudu, we do two ruka'at. And this is actually what he said to Sayyidina Bilal. I heard your footsteps in Jannah. What did you do? SubhanAllah, I heard your footsteps in Jannah. What did you do? And he said, I didn't do much, Ya Rasulullah. Every time I do wudu, I do turukat. Turukat. Simple, quick. And here, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, also the virtue of it. The virtue of it. And he said, whomsoever performed wudu the same way I do wudu. He's saying it to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And did turukat. And these two ruk'at, focus, لا يحدث نفسه فيها. Don't talk to himself. What he will or she will get.
Can you repeat, please?
Okay. So you perform wudu the same way as Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam performed wudu. Then you stood up and did two ruk'at, لا يحدث فيها نفسه. You don't, and you focus, you don't talk to yourself in it. إلا, every time you hear إلا, there is a big thing coming after. What is that? غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. His sins will be forgiven. Sins will be forgiven. Subhanallah. Wudu, we all do it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Now the Jannah gates are opened. Then I stood up and did two rukat. Now all my sins are gone. So that means not only Jannah, but it's going to be higher levels. Think of it this way so we can remember. So I performed wudu, I did it as he did alayhi salatu wasalam. I did not waste water. And then I said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Allah says, okay, 8 gates already waiting. Ya Rabbi Ameen. And then I did 2 ruk'at, did my best to focus. La yuhadith fiya nafsa, you don't talk to yourself as much as I can.
غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. After every
wudu, yeah, Sayyidina Bilal, he did. After every wudu, you do the dua. The dua is very easy. I mean, most of us, you know, by the time you leave, yarhamukillah, by the time we leave the bathroom, and most of us, right, there's at least a minute. I mean, even if you're running to pray, it's ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. How long it will take? 30 seconds. It's not even 30 seconds. Then I'm going to move to salah, a sunnah that is almost, you don't see it, especially with the younger generation. You're going to be very surprised. It's you take your time. They call it al-itma'nanu fi salah. Al-itma'nanu fi salah is you are composed and you are still in your salah. Still in your salah. Composed and you are still. And I'll share this hadith because this is a very famous hadith. The hadith has a title actually. It's called Hadithul Musi' fi salati. This hadith has this title. The hadith of the man who did salah poorly. Any book of fiqh, they tell you hadith al-musi' fi salati. So what did this man did? That Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, they called that the fuqaha and the books, they say this is the man who did salah poorly. So this man entered the masjid. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with his companion and the man prayed and moved to join. And the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam looked at him and says, go back. You did not pray. You did not pray. ارجع فإنك لم تصلي. ارجع صلي فإنك لم تصلي. Go back, pray. You did not pray. Okay, so the man went, prayed, came back. Go back. Again, go back. Pray. You did not pray. Prayed. Third time. Went to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, third time said the same. Go back, pray, you did not pray. This time the man, what did he say? Allah ya Rasulullah, this is what I know. See, this is what I know. So he said to him the following, and this, please memorize it, at least the meaning of it. And he says, the man says, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا أُحْسِنُ غَيْرَهِ. By the one who sent you with the truth, I don't know better than this. This is my ability. This is my knowledge. And beautiful. Subhanallah. فَعَلِّمْنِي. This is the beauty. He said, teach me. Teach me. And he said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَةِ. When you went, stood up for salah, فَكَبِّرْ. Say, Allahu Akbar. Then read, ثُمَّ قْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Read what you know from the Quran. Whatever. He didn't say long or short. Because this is not the issue here. Then, ثُمَّ ارْكَعْ. حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنْ. Then prostrate till you are still. One. ثُمَّ ارْفَعْ. حتى تعتدل قائما. Then stand up from ruku', move up till you are straight, till you stand still and straight. Pay attention, because a lot of the time, especially when we are in a rush, we don't. This is the ruku', we go up like that and then go down. This is not done. It has to be up, because that's what he told him. I'tadil. I'tadil means go back as you were. Then go for sujood. Hatta tatma'in. Same story. Till you are in a state of like peace, serenity, you're still. Then this is what is the one that is most commonly missed. Then stand up from sujood and sit. Sit between the two sajda. Sit meaning, I mean, some scholars actually think this is one of arkan al-salah, to sit between the two sajda. But all of them agree that he needs to come up from the ruku' and from the sujood completely. So here you are as a sajda, and then you have to come and sit. You cannot do this, and then go. You have to go back. Go back. And then do this in every salah, in every ruku'. That's the hadith. Do this in every salah, in every ruka'. Maybe some of us, alhamdulillah, we all know this, but there's a lot, younger generations, when we are in a rush, when we don't have time, or when running and we want to catch up with the imam, don't do that. Then I'm coming to this actually in the next one. Take your time in the salah. And I found the best way to spend a little bit more time in salah, do what? Read a little bit longer. Read a little bit longer. And if you don't know much, a lot of the Quran, read it slower. Teach yourself to be slow in the salah. Because once you are slow in the reading, you will be slow in the ruku'ah. And then when in the ruku'ah, then it's read, say it. Say it so you hear it. As if you're teaching someone. And especially I'm talking about when you're at home, when you have the time, really have the time to practice. And then becomes a habit. It becomes natural. You don't even think about it twice. So don't forget this. This is arkan. This is the pillars of the salah. If you don't do it, the salah is invalid. As if you did not pray. Al-itma'inan fi salah. And it is a sunnah. Now coming to salah, and especially in the masjid, or when there is a jama'ah, you also need to walk with ease and with sakina, with feeling composed and feeling quiet and peaceful. Even if the imam started, don't run. I see this sometimes a lot. Run on the, especially on the stairs. Don't do that, because there's a hadith about it. Subhanallah. You know what's interesting? Everything we do, they did. Subhanallah. It's like a human nature. And this is how we learned it. And imagine, maybe now we say, you know, we didn't know, it's too, a lot of years passed by, but at that time Rasul was with them and they did it, because that's another hadith. Rasul إذا أقيمت الصلاة فلا تأتوها تسعون. When salah is called, don't run for it. Don't run. وأتوها تمشون. And come to it walking. Walking. وعليكم السكينة. Be calm. Be quiet. سكينة. Be composed. فما أدركتم فصلوا. Come with the imam. What you can join with the imam, do. And what you missed, make it up. This is a lot of rules coming from this hadith, but what we are here is taking time in salah and praying quietly with composure is a sunnah. And sometimes it's actually a rukun of the salah. So take your time, don't rush. I mean, a lot of us, and I will add some practical points. If you want a good salah, do what? Turn off your phone completely. And definitely not close to you. Because it's amazing how the moment you say Allahu Akbar, what happens to the phone? La ilaha illallah. It's amazing. It's like, Ya Allah, shaitan operates. And then you put it on vibration, but it's next to you. What happens? You see it vibrating. Or you see the light coming. Right? So you turn it on the side, and then you still see it. And then you keep saying, I was like, who's calling me? Oh, this may be this person, that person. So the best way. Is don't put it in where you are praying. I mean, unless, of course, exceptions to the rule. There's emergency, there's something, but in general, because this is how I say to myself, and I will say to all my beautiful sisters, this khushu' in salah, this focus in salah, it's one of the hardest thing ever. Because there's so many factors plays in. Outside salah, we are not composed with Allah, and we are not in always state of dhikr and connection with Him. So to change immediately gets harder. And then shaitan works, and my nafs works. So I need to remove whatever distract me from it. And one of the biggest distractions these days is, and it's amazing how many times you see in Jumu'ah Salah, wherever you are, yet not in the haram, walillahi alhamd, is turn off your cell phones. SubhanAllah, istawu, a'tadilu, right? This is the sunnah. Straighten your lines, you know, focus, pray like it's your last prayer, and then make sure your phones are off. So in at home, when I am alone, remove all these and think of it when you pray and you take your time in the salah, it is you are resuscitating a sunnah. You're reviving a sunnah. And whosoever revive a sunnah, one person look at you. And this is a true story happened to me. I was in Medina, actually. I remember very well. This was years ago. And we were waiting for one of the salahs. And I came in and sat. After I did my tahiyyat al-mijlis, I sat. And the woman, it was after Dhuhr because we finished the salah. And the woman in front of me, two women, I still remember, they were dressed like they are from Malaysia. And literally, this woman went for ruku'ah. Honestly, I thought she died. Not sujood, ruku'ah. I mean, I've never seen it. See how many years now, and I still remember. And then I kept watching. SubhanAllah, when she stand up, a young woman, wasn't an older lady, young. When she stand up, you can feel she is like literally performing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Literally, very focused, very focused. And you know, Masjid Nabawi is like busy, people going, very focused. So I still remember her when I see her, subhanAllah. And then came to my mind at that time and now is when Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to pray the night salah, some of the Sahaba, they thought there was a tree. There was a tree standing. SubhanAllah. What is it? Standing too long and not moving. Because they think it's the same thing, it's not moving. So let's revive this sunnah. Again, revive as much as you can. Let's pick up one salah to start with. Which salah I know I can because there is least distraction. And then it becomes a habit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us Ya Rabbi Ameen. Next one, which again, missing. After you sit for tashahud, how long do you sit after? So after you do your tahiyyat, right? And then, how long?
Second tashahud?
Yeah, second, you're done. You're done. Meaning, how long after you finish this, and you say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Exactly. I love it. What exactly. It's like, not too long. It's so true. We need to change this. Because that's also another sunnah. And he says, Rasul, he said, إِذَا كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ Sayyidina Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, when we were with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was explaining to us, and then was explaining to us something and about salah, and then he said, after التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات, after we say this dua, he said, take your time, the meaning of it, ليتخير من الدعاء ما أعجبه فليدعو. Choose whatever you like from dua and start asking Allah. Take your time. This is one of the times where dua is granted. This is a time dua is granted. So don't finish rush and say, salam alaikum, salam alaikum. There's exceptions to the rule. There's an emergency, baby is crying, something happened. But in general, this is not the rule. So let me take my time. What is the sunnah of the dua you do it? The dua you do after at-tahiyyat. Okay, no. Say it again, but say it fully. The Messiah al-Dajjal. It's four things you seek refuge from. This is after you finish at-tahiyyatu, before taslim, right? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. وعذاب النار وعذاب جهنم, the punishment of the hellfire. وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. I seek refuge in you. I will be tested or exposed to tests and trials of during life and at time of death. That's the biggest one. وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال. And I seek refuge that I will be tested at the time the faked Messiah will come back. When almost everybody will believe in him as he is the real Messiah. So here you go. That time of dua, memorize this one. And you can, if you like, I will share it to you after the class. But this is, and you find it in almost all the books of dua. This is a sunnah. One other hadith, one other dua, shorter one. No. I'm talking about the from the sunnah. From the sunnah, ya Mu'ad, inni uhibbuk. What did he tell him? Ya Mu'ad, I love you. So don't forget, after every salah to say what? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. I'm sure you all know it. But this is what we are trying. We're trying things we know, alhamdulillah. Now put it in the right time and in the right place, not with the niyyah only of asking Allah, because it's a beautiful dua, but you are asking it because, well, that's what he taught me, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, what? Allahumma a'inni, ya Allah, help me. Make it easy for me. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika, to remember you. Shukrika, grateful to you. Wa husni ibadatik, that I worship you with excellence. And here he said, la tansa, the meaning of it, don't forget to say after every salah. And most scholars tells you this dua is before taslim. So two things before taslim, it's sunnah. And you add whatever you want. Everything you want, before, whatever you want. I mean, as I always say to myself, you have nothing to ask Allah, yani everything is guaranteed. Nothing, no problems in life, nothing, everything I want is available. And then I'm sure I'm going to go to Jannah, and I'm sure I'm sitting next to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Ya Rabbi, Ameen, but I don't have this guarantee. I would love to. So let's ask. And this is time, again, remember, this is time where the dua, the supplication is granted. This is one of the times after salah. Before you say taslim, before you say salam alaikum, meaning before the end, and actually after. Now, after the salah is a different story, honey. This is a huge issue. After salah. What should we say after salah? From the sunnah. Immediately, once you finish, astaghfirullah, first thing. And it's a very interesting concept for all of us to know, is most of the, especially the two big ones, which is a salah and al-hajj, is when you finish, you ask Allah for forgiveness. Once you finish hajj, you ask Allah for forgiveness. And then once you leave Arafah, and you go to Muzdalifah, when you leave Muzdalifah, you ask Allah for forgiveness. SubhanAllah, I just came from Arafah. But just in case there's missings, I didn't do perfect, which is very likely, then you ask Allah for forgiveness. And then after salah, immediately, don't do anything. Please don't jump on your phone, which is the usual. Don't move. Sit and say astaghfirullah three times. And then there is the dua after salah. You all know it. The minimum is what? Minimum. Don't forget to read Ayatul Kursi. Don't forget to read, as you call it, the three quls. Right? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ And? SubhanAllah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33. Teach yourself to do it as you are sitting. Once it becomes a habit, even if you have to leave for whatever the reason, it's going to come natural as you're walking. But how many of us really sit 3 minutes after salah? 3 minutes. Every salah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The rest, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's fine. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So don't forget, I just shared a couple from the salah. Is what did we say? The sunnah that in the salah we don't do. Well, we already forgot, alhamdulillah. That's where I go back again.
I can't get your question.
That's what did what is now? Let's we talked about wudu. Now I'm going for my salah. Number one, go for the salah with tamanina, meaning quiet, composed, peacefully. Whether you are going from the from your bathroom to where you normally pray, whether you are in the masjid. This is actually one of the characters of the believer. It's not only the believer, Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah, their sign is they walk on this earth humbleness and gently. So let's try to compose this, let's try to make this at least in our homes for a short period of time. After wudu, when you go to the salah, take your time. And you are in dhikr. Then when you stand up, take your time and don't forget. You go for ruku, come up completely. You go for sujood, come up completely. Sit between the two rukat. Sit. This is actually, some scholars tells you this is obligation. Sit. And there's a dua in it. What is the dua? I didn't say it in the first time. Allahumma khfirli. Allahumma khfirli warhamni wa'fu anni. And you can add. But at least you are asking Allah also for dua. Allahumma khfirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni wajburni wasturni. It's a longer one. You can do this. But at least, yani, if we leave today and we learned one thing is don't waste water in wudu. Take every opportunity to make a dua and take your time. Take your time. When you cook and you want the recipe to come excellent, what is number one plus the ingredients?
Do it slowly.
Take your time. What do you say when it didn't come out the usual way? What do you say? You know, I was in a rush. But anything we do and doesn't come proper the way we are used to, so you know what? I know it's not going to come out well because I was in a rush. I was not focused. I was distracted. There were so many things going on. Subhanallah. Same thing with the salah. Let's focus. Give it time. So here you go. If you enter the masjid and the imam was just in, already started, don't rush, don't run, especially if you are wearing a shoes that make sounds. So you're making announcement, I'm coming to the masjid. Please don't do that. Just walk slowly, whatever missed, you can make it up. Before taslim, before you say salam alaikum, salam alaikum, don't forget. Sit, take your time in dua and add to it anything. Don't forget your parents. It's actually one of the best times to pray for your parents. You make it a habit. After you say the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adab al-qabr wa adab jahannam, and then you say, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadah. Do whatever you want to do, but don't forget your parents. Yeah, Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Especially for those who are passed away. And those who are still alive, Ya Rabbi ihfadhuma. Ya Allah protect them, Ya Allah guide them, Ya Allah increase them, all the beautiful things for your parents, but especially if they passed away. Now I want to cover a couple of salats. Alhamdulillah, we have still some time. Which salah we forget? Not the obligation. Al-Duha. Subhanallah, how did you know that? MashaAllah, tabaraka. Salat al-Duha. It's amazing how we forget it. It's like la ilaha illallah, whether it's a weekend, whether it's a weekday, whether it's a Friday, whether we are off, whether we are working, it's just because it is not on the agenda. And let me share with you what's the virtue of it. Number one, it is one of the sunan that he most commonly did. That there's a hadith of Sayyida Aisha, she said, we used to see him doing it that we thought he would never stop doing it. But also, she said, sometimes he didn't do it that we thought he will never do it again. Because he didn't want to make it an obligation. It's not an obligation. And this is the virtue of it. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that's in Muslim. He said, when the human being get up in the morning, charity is due. Charity is due from every one of his joint or her joint. Every joint. How many joints we have? 360. Remember, it's the same days of the year.
Yeah.
Subhanallah. I'm sure there is something related to it. So 360. Each one is waiting for their charity. Imagine, if you give $1 for every joint, that's $360 a day. That's too much money. Right? So he used the word sadaqah. I'm bringing the word to you because that's what the hadith says. It's charity. It's sadaqah. So every day I'm going to write $360 check. So he said, every morning, the human being wake up, There is charity due on every joint. There is charity in every time you say Subhanallah, glorify Allah, this is a charity. Every time you say Alhamdulillah, that's an act of charity. Every time you say Allahu Akbar, that's an act of charity. Every time you say La ilaha illallah, act of charity. He's giving you options. Amrun bil ma'roof, enjoining good, act of charity. Preventing evil is an act of charity. All this will be replaced with two ruk'at of duha. Two ruk'at of duha. Minimum is two. Maximum?
Eight.
Maximum is eight. Minimum is two. Two ruk'at every day. You have given charity for every joint of your body. We all want to be healthy, we exercise, take vitamin D, all these, right? Wallah, but this is because this is specifically about the joints. This is specifically about the joints. Two ruk'at. When does the time comes in? It has a good window of time, duha. What is the window of time? It's about 30 minutes after sunrise. 30 minutes roughly. And then till just before zenith, just before the sun becomes in the middle of the sky. So the time changes according to the time of the year. So you have at least 2 to 3 hours. I mean, average. Average. The easiest way, if you want to fix it, so you will train your brain and we train our brain, make it every day at 9. You call it another name. No, that's not the Ishraq. No, there's a name in the Urdu. Exactly. Yeah, somebody just said to me, it's like Jaj. Now I learned. But that's Surat al-Duha. Ishraq is a different one. It's about 15 minutes after sunrise. But this one related to you sit in the masjid, pray jama'ah or in your home, and then you sit in your musalla till 15 minutes after sunrise, stand up, do two ruk'at, you'll have the reward of Hajj and Umrah. This one is a different. That's Ishraq. This one is 30 minutes after sunrise, all the way till the sun becomes in the middle. It will give charity for every joint of my body. Al-Duha. Exactly. Every charity. And the best time is when it is a little bit later in the day. When it gets a little bit like 9, 10. So what I will recommend, again, it depends who you are and what do you do. Look at your day and see where is the time I know I'm going to have some time off. I will do my duha. I mean, I have seen friends and teachers. I mean, duha for them is an obligation. They look at it as an obligation. I've never seen them, literally. You're doing surgery for them, it's like, can I do my duha? Yeah, really. I mean, these people live these days. It's not like in the books. SubhanAllah. So let's bring it back. That's what this is the whole topic is. Bring back these and give them their due right. It's only two ruk'at. How long two ruk'at takes? How long? Yani, your mine and your two ruk'at, how long it takes? Right? I'm not saying the average two ruk'at. I'm saying average people these days. Not 2 minutes?
Maximum.
Right? 1 minute? Do you read in yani, what you read? So 2 minutes.
I don't know how.
And then, so two.
So what's the name of that?
Ishraq. They call it Ishraq. But this is related. The Ishraq is related. You pray Fajr. The hadith is actually fi jama'ah. You pray it with a congregation. And then you sit in your place. You don't talk. You don't do anything. Only remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till the sunrise. Then you stand up and you do two ruk'at as the reward of Hajj and Umrah. The scholar says, if you normally pray in jama'ah, pray in jama'ah. If you are somebody who doesn't come to the masjid, let's say a woman doesn't come to the masjid, then you do it in your home, and they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. That's your knee, of course he will give it to you. I say, with or without, we don't do it, right? We come to the masjid, we don't do it. We don't come to the masjid, we don't do it. So let's revive it. At least let's start with the weekend. Because weekend, all the home is sleeping. And these days, Fajr is about 6:10, 6:05. So you stay to about 7:30 or 7:40. And then you get. And this, scholars teaches you, this replaces al-duha if you do it. If you cannot do both, this will replace al-duha. But if I cannot do the first one, I will do the second. Al-duha is sunnah mu'akkada. It's absolutely, it's like a, he did it very frequently, more than the first one, al-duha. So don't forget this one. I want to end up with qiyamul layl. Qiyamul layl, especially these days. So qiyamul layl is, there's so many hadiths about it. It's actually, it's an obligation to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then it became, it originally was obligation, but then it became only for him, not for his ummah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways he praised the believers is by the fact they pray in the night. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Very little they slept in the night. Not watching TV, Netflix, texting, WhatsApp. May Allah forgive us all. Wallah, isn't it true? SubhanAllah, in Ramadan people do it. It's basically قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Very little they sleep in the night. And another ayah Allah says, تَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Their backs reject the bed. See the way Allah described, reject the bed. خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Out of fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hopeful and waiting for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qiyamul layl, standing up in the night. And Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam said the following. The best afdalu salati ba'da al-maktuba qala as-salatu fi jawfi al-layl. He was asked actually, what is the best salah you do after the obligatory salah? The best salah you do after obligatory salah. And he said, after obligatory salah, the best one is as-salatu fi jawfi al-layl. Is you pray in the middle of the night. Why? Why? There's many reasons. Many reasons. Number one. Number one. It's the hardest. Because we love to sleep. We love our bed. We love it. Right? It's very hard. Right? Number one. Number two. Because that's the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalted, he descend to the lower heavens. And then he starts saying, nobody needs to be forgiven. No one has anything I want to give. مَا مِن سَائِلْ مَا مِن مُسْتَغْفِرْ. Allah is asking, no one wants to be forgiven. No one asking for anything. Nobody needs anything so I can give. That's number two. Number three. It's very few people does it. Very few people does it for شَرَفُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the honor of the believer. Qiyam al-layl, the honor of the believer. And some teachers I had, you see it on their face. You see it. You see it on their face. Qiyam al-layl. And in winter, it's the easiest. I mean, Fajr is 6 or something. So I know people go to work at 4:30. So get up, 30 minutes, 20 minutes. Or if you are a person, you cannot guarantee you will wake up before Fajr, do it after. Do it after Isha. You can do it after Isha. But at least make it. You can do it after Isha, absolutely. Better later. Definitely better later. Right? تَهَجُّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. From the night, do tahajjud. That's why you call it tahajjud. It's in the Quran. Do that salah tahajjud, meaning you're up, نَافِلَةً لَكَ, as an act of extra, an act of nafila. But let's make it part of my day and night, part of my salah. Two things I have to add. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy. And I'm reviving the sunnah. If I start in my house, and then somebody in my house follow, and then another person follow, and then maybe my friend, and then they go for sleepover, or they come sleepover, and then they see this happen, and then what rewards you will get? Two things, al-duha and qiyamul layl. Two ruka'at. And he did, alayhi salatu wasalam, 13. He did 10, he did 13. Let's start with two, witr. Two. Start with the shortest and then elongate and make it longer and make it longer. And then subhanAllah, it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit, you will wake up even without an alarm. But let's do these. These. Duha and qiyamul layl. Don't forget, don't waste. I'm going to go back again on it from last time because we need to remind ourselves. Don't forget siwak. Don't forget adhan. Listen, repeat with Mu'addin, and make the dua. Don't forget these. These are sunnah. Resuscitate what is dead already. Bring back and glorify Allah and His symbols. Adhan is a symbol of Allah. As-salah is a symbol of Allah. Don't forget wudu. Don't waste water. Don't forget tashahud. Take your time. Walk to salah gently. In salah, take your time. Sit before you say assalamu alaikum and ask Allah. And sit after that. To salah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. Al-duha and al-layl. الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه تسليما كثيرا جزاكم الله خيرا عائشة No, it's 8 o'clock but I think it's off Yes, it's 8 o'clock Exactly, it's off Yeah, please put the